you on everybody's lips. Yeah,
they're chapped lips.
They're chapped lips. Right. Do you think Phil's gonna come out and see a shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil.
That's right, woodchuck chuckers. It's Groundhog Day! Get up and check that hog out there!
Yeah! Scooby, Scooby, come here, Groundhog!
Morning! Off to see the groundhog?
Yeah?
Think it'll be an early spring.
Didn't we do this yesterday?
I don't know what you mean.
Don't mess with me, Porkchop. What day is this?
It's February 2nd. Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Sorry. You know, I thought it was yesterday.
Oh.
Did you sleep well, Mr. Connors?
Did I sleep well?
Would you like some coffee?
Yes, please. I think I'll have a double.
I hope you enjoy the festivities. There's talk of a blizzard.
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
I'd say the chance of departure is 80%. 75-80.
How many remember Groundhog Day? That movie with Bill Murray, who I thought just played that role so geniusly. I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but the premise of the movie digs into the story of Phil Connors, who is a kind of self-centered, self-focused weatherman who walks into Groundhog Day, and then he goes to bed, wakes up the next day, and it's Groundhog Day again, which is the scene that you just saw, and he's starting to realize it. And then he wakes up the next day, and it's Groundhog Day again and again and again. And he finds himself living the same day over and over and over again, and he can't get out of living in the same day. And if you're a preacher, you look at a movie like that and go, there's a sermon. Like, I absolutely love, there's a huge sermon inside of there. And for those of you like, I don't understand the sermon, you'll see here in just a moment. I'm a preacher, man. Like, everything is a sermon illustration or something that I can use to illustrate a point, a powerful point in God's word. But man, I absolutely love this talk. And so this talk is going to hold hands with the movie Groundhog Day. And I see some people are kind of shivering here a little bit, so they're going to be working with the AC here in just a little bit to turn that down, so I don't know who needs to work that out there for us, so that would be awesome. But, and I know right here some people have kind of a blocked view, so just kind of look through the prison bars. That'll be absolutely awesome if you could do that. Hey, you know, we say this a lot here at Journey Church, and we'll always say it. Everyone here was created with purpose. Everyone, every single person in here was created with intent. You were created with thought. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are not a blunder. You are not an error. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we," everybody say we, "we are God's handiwork." It says this, "created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God," I love this next word, "prepared in," and I love this other word, "advance for us to do." You know what that scripture means? That scripture means that God doesn't make mistakes, meaning you were a forethought, you were a plan, you exist for a reason. And whatever that reason is, that reason is in you. We call it the dream, a dream that is sown deep down inside the fabric of who you are as a person. And only you and your maker can truly know what that dream is. I can't know it for you. Only you and your maker can truly know what that dream is. And whatever that dream is, whether it's owning a business or becoming a missionary, or maybe your dream is just to have a family, or your dream may be, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a psychologist or a counselor. I want to help people in that light. Or maybe your dream is to be a politician. Lord knows we need a good one right about now. Amen. Whatever that dream is, defines a big part of why you are on this planet right now. Whatever that dream is, that defines a big part of the reason you have breath in your body. But much like our friend Phil Connor, geniusly played by Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, I see a lot of people in this world, I see a lot of people in the church, for lack of a better term, stuck. Trapped inside of living the same day over and over and over again, stuck in the daily routines of the present that they never get to where God wants them to go. They live inside of this routine that essentially can just be defined as get up. We get up, we eat some breakfast, maybe a bagel. Go to work, right? Come home, eat, watch some TV. If you got some time, hang out for a little bit, go to bed, repeat. Get up, eat some breakfast, maybe a bagel. Go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch some TV, maybe hang out if you got some time, go to bed. Get up, eat some breakfast, maybe a bagel. Some of you are like, all right, I got it. Right? And I'm not demonizing this type of routine, but a routine like this right here can become ensnaring. And I say that because so many of us allow life to simply pass by, where we never make it to where God has called us to be because we never leave where we are. Get up, eat some breakfast, maybe a bagel, right? Can essentially become incarcerating. It can become, for lack of a better term, a prison that incarcerates the dream that God has put in your life. Hear me today. God did not put that dream in you. God did not put that reason in you to be incarcerated behind the bars of the routines of life that bring us to the mundane. What is a prison but a place that specializes in the routine of the mundane? You know, we do prison ministry here at Journey Church. Tim and I are headed to the prison over in Vandalia, the women's prison in Vandalia tomorrow, which we get to do every month. And I remember having a meaningful conversation with one of the ladies there, and she said this in the context of what it's like for her in there. And she said this: the pain in my life is attached to the routine in this place. She said this: the routine in here is as painful as the guilt I have in here. And I thought that was so interesting, because she says she's just in a routine and everybody has this dream and you can't get out and go pursue it. And some of you, in part, can relate to that. But what is it that is keeping you in that routine? What is it that's locking you behind those bars? What is it that's holding you back from pursuing the reason you're on this planet? In other words, what do these bars represent in your life? You know, in praying for that answer in prayer, you know, I just, like, some buzzwords kept coming up in my heart. Some buzzwords kept coming up in my mind when I was praying about the things that keep us from our dream, the things that lock us back from pursuing the reason we've been put on this planet. And buzzwords like contentment, laziness, excuses kept coming up in my mind. Insecurities, words like fear and doubt and addiction kept coming up in my heart and in my mind when I was praying about what keeps us locked behind, what imprisons, what incarcerates our dreams. See, things like this right here can easily become a comfort zone, if you would, of life that in the long term end up paralyzing our willingness to step out in faith and become who God created you to become. What do these bars represent that are holding your dream back? It's one of those buzzwords. I want to go back to some of those buzzwords, like number one, contentment. You know, contentment's a dangerous thing. And contentment doesn't need to be attached to our life. And please don't understand, I'm not talking about contentment in the context of possessions. I think it's important, you know, that we be content in what we have been given. You know, like we're always pursuing the newest and the latest. And not that that's a bad thing, but there's good things to be content in the possessions context. But I'm not talking about contentment in the possessions context. I'm talking about rather in the context of the progress of your life, of the development of yourself as a person, in your spiritual growth, in the growth that you have with spiritual disciplines as an individual that God uses to progress you toward the dream He has put in you. Never be content with where you are in that context. Psychologists will tell you that contentment quickly leads to boredom because you have no vision for how to challenge yourself to take your life to the next level. And boredom ends up heeding things like pessimism and worry and blame and anger and powerlessness, and victimization then becomes our mindset and our identity, and before you know it, you're so miserable, you're blaming everybody else for the problems that you have. Let me tell you something. Never settle. Never settle. God always has something in front of you. God always has some growing for you to do, to use, and get you to the purpose He's created you for. How many know God is never done with you? Contentment so many times glues us to the routine of the mundane. Never allow contentment to hold back the dream that God has put in your heart. Number two, laziness is something that imprisons our dream. What do you think of when you think of the word laziness? I think of like sluggish, right? Slow, no motivation. And that's such a dangerous thing to have attached to your life, because laziness by its very nature lacks purpose. Lacks purpose. You don't even know why you're doing what you're doing. It can get that mindset in you. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 27 says, "The lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt." I love this scripture because I love the visual that it's giving. Solomon, the writer, the author of Proverbs here, is giving a visual of someone who's getting their deer, somebody who's hunting their deer. And after they get it, boom, after they got it, they just leave. They don't go to the deer. They don't clean it. They don't part it. They don't get it ready to be eaten. They just leave because it's too much work. That's awesome. And just walk off. They never take advantage of the purpose from which they were even hunting in the first place. He's giving a visual here of people that are not willing to go the extra mile to get the job done. People that live in laziness lack in purpose. Laziness brings destruction. Proverbs 18:9 says, "One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys." How many know that's true right there? You find somebody that's idle, you know, that doesn't move, that doesn't have motivation. Man, a lazy person's a powerful person. Powerful in that they can affect the atmosphere and infect others in that atmosphere. You ever tried to motivate somebody that has no motivation? It's easier trying to drive a parked car. My wife, and I find myself sometimes, we all have those moments where we don't have motivation. My wife is just get up and go. She's ready to go. She's ready to do. And sometimes I don't like to operate at that pace, right? Just, and it's a whole lot easier for me to drag her down than it is for her to speed me up. I'll tell you, laziness is powerfully dangerous. I got to move on, but there are results in poverty. Proverbs 10:4, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Man, I gotta move. But there are other proven results of laziness. It breeds dissatisfaction. It leads to neglect. Here's the point. Don't let laziness imprison the dream God has put in your heart. Come on, somebody say a good amen right there. Buzzwords like excuses. Excuses. Man, this one's a convicting one right here. Howard Wright said, excuses are lies wrapped up in reasons. Excuses are lies wrapped up in reasons. How many know you will always have a reason why it can't be done? Right? You're always going to have a reason, probably a resume of reasons, why it can't be done. Come on, somebody. Like, we are just the kings and queens of excuses on why something can't be accomplished. And I hear excuses all the time from people in society, in this world, when they're asked, why aren't you pursuing your dream? I hate this answer right here, because there's not enough money. I don't have enough money to accomplish the dream in my heart. I don't have enough financial security to launch to the dream God has given me. And I'm just like, that is, it's so backwards thinking. Because I'm sitting there thinking, look, God, look at this church. You know how much we started this church with? Goose egg. Nothing. I just got a call. Again, I get calls from church planters a lot, people that are planting a church, and there's somebody that's wanting to plant a church in Ferguson, and they heard about Journey Church. I'm telling you, you're a story. And they called me, and they're like, tell me the story of Journey Church. And you know, they're asking me all these questions because there's church science and statistics that say all the things you need before you go. And they're like, how much money did you have? That was the question he had before you planted the church. I said, we had, are you ready for this? You got your pen to the paper? I got it ready. We had zero. What? You didn't fundraise? You didn't raise any capital? You didn't do anything like that? No. What are you doing? What did you have in your pocket? I said, all I had in my pocket was a word from God. That's all I had, was a word from God that said, go. And can I tell you, the money will follow the ministry. The ministry was never created to follow the money. Ministries that follow money end up going nowhere. And this is a ministry that will always follow Jesus. Money follows the ministry. The provision will follow the vision. I looked at my wife and I said this while they were doing announcements. I was just looking around and I'm like, can you believe that we get to be a part of this? And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, none of this was here when we were on a Penske truck driving here. None of this was. We didn't have anything. We didn't have a dime until after we said we were planting, until after we started going forward. Then we started to see God's provision for what it is that He called us to do. How many know we just got to trust God with it and quit giving excuses on what we don't have, when we got to realize the nature of faith is stepping out into the impossible, so that when you get there and people ask you how you got there, you can say, it is Him who made this possible right here. He's asking me all kinds of questions. How'd you get this? How'd you get your worship pastor, he said. I was like, well, how we got our worship pastor is way different than you're probably going to get yours. Amen. And if you don't know that story, I don't have time to go into it. But it was, you could hear his mouth hit the floor when I told him Tim's story. Not enough money. There's always something. I hate it when people say the reason they're not pursuing their dream or the reason they're not doing this or that is because they don't feel good. I don't feel good today. I mean, no, none of us feel good all the time. But can I say this? Feelings will never get you to your future. Feelings don't care about your future. You will always have to push through the adversity of your own feelings to get to the place that God has called you to go. Feelings are your enemy, friends, because we all wake up with achy bones. We all wake up not wanting to do what it takes to do to arrive at the platform of success that God has called us to do. We have to push through feelings. Quit allowing limitations to keep you from accomplishing greatness. Can I tell you, when I'm not feeling good, I think of 1997, Game 5 of the NBA Finals with Michael Jordan, who is playing with the flu. I don't know if you've ever heard of the flu game before, but this is the guy that he's the greatest. It was an amazing situation. And he's going into Game 5, tied 2-2 the series, and he's got the flu. Check this out. I watch this video. It motivates me right now.
No matter how sick I was, how tired I was, I felt an obligation to my team, to the Chicago to go out, give that extra effort.
The big story here tonight, the story concerning Michael Jordan's physical conditions. This Jordan arriving about 2 hours ago. He is suffering from flu-like symptoms.
I remember this game. I remember watching this game and just watching the pain and the fatigue on him. But I watched him persist through that pain, through that fatigue, go on from a serious come-from-behind victory when the flu was inevitable on his countenance. After he'd make shots, he could barely stand. He got that infamous picture of Scottie Pippen holding him up, and he went to win that game, scoring with the flu 61 points. With the flu, LeBron who? Please. 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 You know, I'm just sitting there, I'm watching that, and it just blows me away. And I'm thinking, if Michael Jordan can score 61 points with the flu, then I can pursue the dream God has put in my life today through the feelings that I'm struggling with. How many know what I'm talking about? Feelings will never get you to your future. Number four, insecurities. Man, this is a big one that locks us in. Who do you see when you look in the mirror? Quit seeing ugly. Quit seeing what everybody else says about you. Man, we allow the opinions of others to become our identity. I say this all the time, and I'll keep saying it. Your head is a stupid place to keep other people's opinions. Quit allowing them the real estate of your mind. They're the opinions of other people. They don't matter, friends. Your purpose is God-given, and He made you for a reason. Where is it that we leave what God says about us? He calls us His own. He calls us His children. He says we were made for a reason, and He says to get there, we've been equipped with the power. We've been equipped with the abilities. We've been equipped with the talents. We've been equipped with the gifts that He's sown in us with a lot of forethought, and then in order to get there, we stop going there, and we get behind the bars of other people's opinions that say we can't get there. Quit looking at yourself in the mirror and seeing who other people say you are. I'm the most cocky person in the world when I look in the mirror. Whew, look at you. Like, that's what I say. And I'm not just talking like physical handsome features because I know I got that. I'm talking like, you know who you are? You're a child of the living God. You were created with a lot of forethought. You were created with purpose. God's handiwork, that's who you are. That means God's hands played a role in making you, and you're no mistake. You are here for a reason. I'm telling you, you start encouraging yourself when you start saying that stuff. You will be surprised that your feelings will follow your words. Whose report, right? That's that old song we used to sing back in the day. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord, right? Because you've got this opportunity to make a choice. Who am I? Am I who God says I am, or am I who others say that I am? Just Google, and next time you go to Google, just Google my identity in Christ, and just look at the scriptures of what God says about you. Start saying that to yourself in the mirror. Start believing who it is that God made you to be. How many know we got to stop living feelings first? Amen. Number five, fear. Fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of, let's all say this next word together, fear. It's very important that we see this first part of the verse. Because it's saying that fear, you know, that fear that is in you, wasn't put there by God. We all have it, but he's saying this, that fear that's in you, I didn't put it there. That's not from me. I didn't give you that. You know what I gave you? I gave you a spirit of power. I gave you a spirit of love. I gave you a sound mind. Man, fear is something that is so powerful in that it is paralyzing by nature. You won't jump because, and you start preaching, you start creating this story in your mind. One of the greatest quotes I've ever heard on fear was in the movie After Earth with Will Smith, where he's trying to tell his son, you know, to accomplish this insane task, and he's afraid to. Take a look at this clip. It's insane.
It can't find me. Doesn't even know where to look. And it dawned on me. Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity, Katar. Now, do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story, and that day mine changed.
My goodness, West Philadelphia, born and raised. That was insane right there. Man, that was powerful stuff right there. Fear is a choice. It's a product of our imagination concerning the future. How many scriptures do you know that start out with the words, fear not? There's a lot in there. God, throughout biblical history, you see him speaking those two words to humanity before he tells them to do whatever it is he's calling them to do. Fear not. Fear is a prison for so many dreams. Buzzwords like doubt, man, which is a cousin to fear and worry and insecurities in its own right. People that doubt. Buzzwords like addiction kept rising up in my heart as something that imprisons the dreams of so many people, because addiction is so powerful. And when I say that, I mean people entangled in the habitual struggles of their flesh, whether it's alcoholism or drug addiction or dangerous addictions like pornography or whatever it is. It's a routine of its own rapport that paralyzes people from getting to their dream. Can I tell you this one more time? Your flesh has no interest in your future. I see addiction, again, which is a routine of its own, takes so many people off course from where God wants them. I don't know if you see this buzzing around on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat, but they've got that news clip of the guy in Upper Darby, which is in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area, and he's on a bus, and he's a heroin addict, and he shoots up heroin right there on the bus. I don't know if you've seen that. And he's sitting there, and it's right there in front of everybody. You see him just shoot up. And then he ODs, and he's in that moment. He's in the cloud, and his armed hands come up, and he starts to get paralyzed. He starts to shake a little bit, and then drops off into the aisle of the bus. Man, if you haven't seen it, you're probably going to see it. It is getting there. It's getting around. And I remember watching that video, very disturbing clip that you can see on YouTube or whatever. And I'm watching that video, and I'm watching the comments roll off, because what happens when he fell in the aisle, people freaked. They didn't see him shoot up, but when they saw him fall in the aisle, off the OD, his heart stopped, and you see people coming. They stop the bus, police, EMT, they end up coming, and they were able to revive him with whatever they used to revive somebody, and they revived him. And I remember watching the comments go, thank God they got him alive again. And it was just all celebration over the life that he has. But somebody that knows addiction, I'm asking questions like, okay, that's cool, but when are we going to see him on the bus video again? When's he going to shoot up again? And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. You got to hear me today, Journey Church. There is a routine here in these buzzwords that lead to nowhere. And can I tell you, you cannot expect to be doing the same things you've always been doing and arrive at your purpose. That's insane. And isn't that the very definition of insanity? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting what? A different result. Can I tell you that God is calling you and I to climb out of the box of our lifeless routines and unlock the dream that is sitting there on the inside of our hearts, just waiting to be free so that it can take us to who God has called us to be. That's why we're so passionate at this church about making this place more than just a place. I love what Sandy said during the announcements. This is not just a church, this is a family. That's why we're so passionate about making these people your family, making this church your family. Because many of you, you know what you need? A different group of people around your life than the ones you got. You see, because I had stuff hold me, I didn't grow up in church, so when I was a teenager, well into my teenage years, when I came to know Christ, I had to change my crew because the crew I was with were no good for my life, especially at the seed phase of me discovering my purpose in life. Some of you got a crew around your life that care not one iota about your freedom from addiction, care not one iota about your progress in spiritual development, care not one iota about who it is that God has called you to be. And to get there, you got to cut them loose. Man, I had to, and you may say, well, it's kind of uncaring for you to say that. Aren't we supposed to love the world around us? Listen, that has nothing to do with me loving the world around us. It's not that I didn't love the world around me. I had to separate myself from the world around me so that I could grow and be strong enough to one day reach the world around me. And you got to get to that place. You got to find a cave and get strong and learn to grow and develop and walk to do the things God has called you to do. I had people look at me, man, that I was hanging with my whole life, look at me right in my face and say, you mean to tell me that you're not going to be hanging? You're not going to be doing? We've been friends for how long? 14 years? You're just going to abandon this? You're going to walk away from this? And I was like, look, man, I'm not walking away from us. I'm walking away from what we do. I can't do that anymore. I can't drink my way to my purpose. I can't drug my way to my purpose. I can't get arrested on my way to my purpose. So I'm going to, you know, you'll find me. You'll find me in the church house. You'll find me doing everything with the church. And if you want to roll with me, then come to the church with me. And you will be surprised who you really got as friends when you give them that ultimatum. Find out who your real friends are and tell them that. Ride or die, nothing. Right? Make this place a family. Get people. Change your circle. Make people. Make this. Don't let anybody infringe on your Sunday morning routine. Don't let anybody keep you from the events that we put on here. Small groups, plug in. That's why we're so passionate about. That's why we're so passionate about giving and serving, because those two things by nature cause you to think outside of yourself. And when you get your eyes on blessing others, when you get your eyes on blessing others, when you get your eyes on blessing who? Other people. You start to see yourself blessing other people. And when you see yourself blessing other people, you start to realize that you were created for a purpose. Hey, wait a minute. I played a role in that. Wait a minute. I played a part in helping that person. Wait a minute. I played a part in getting them to win. And it feels good when you help somebody. And then you maybe think, man, maybe I do got a purpose. Maybe I do got a point to this thing called life. And then you start to embrace that. But it causes you to start looking outside of yourself. That's the point in the movie Groundhog Day where it all changed for Phil Connors, who was geniusly played by Bill Murray. Because Phil Connors, by nature, was selfless, all about himself, living the same day over and over again, not knowing how he was going to get to tomorrow, until one day he woke up realizing, I think he'd repeated the day like 80 times, and he said, why am I on this earth? Because he used to think this earth was Planet Phil and everybody just lived in it. You ever met people like that? It's their world, you're just living in it. And he realized, maybe this isn't my world. Maybe I'm here for a purpose. And he used that day to serve others. He used that day to bless and benefit others. He used that day to help others. And when he realized that, he said, man, this feels a whole lot better than the life that I was living. And when he started to give outside of himself, he started to climb out of the box of the mundane routine that he was in, and he started to bless the world around him. Guess what he found the next day? His tomorrow. What a moment. He found the tomorrow he was so desperately searching for. Let me say this to you today, Journey Church, don't imprison your dream in a paralyzing routine.
Get here. Is anybody out there? Who's that? I said, who is that? Show yourself.
She looks so young and innocent.
That's how it always starts.
And they're optimistic.
Courageous.
So full of promise.
Then they end up here
and become fearful.
Hopeless.
Forgotten.
Don't touch me!
Don't worry. It will all become clear soon enough.
Who are you guys?
It's okay, honey. We're not here to harm you.
Why am I here?
Your owner has abandoned you.
Owner? If they were a real owner, they wouldn't leave us trapped in here.
Yeah. A real owner protects you, cares for you, nurtures you.
What owner?
Oh, just tell her why she's here, for God's sake.
You take it easy. You don't want to scare this little girl.
Well, you don't think she's scared already? Listen, Missy, you've been forgotten and left here for dead, plain and simple. The sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be. Now, enjoy your stay.
I'm not gonna die here. Someone's gonna come rescue me.
Yeah, fat.
Right?
Wrong. I've been waiting here for the big rescue for 6 years.
Her owner's embarrassed of her, afraid of what people might think.
Don't you dare speak for me, okay? You don't understand me, so don't you dare to pretend to be my mouthpiece.
Just stop yelling. Please stop yelling.
Friendly butt, huh?
So, what's your story?
Excuse me?
Well, everyone has a story. You see, that's my passion. Finding stories that express the pain and the beauty of life and laying them bare as a mirror to our souls. You see, great art reveals truth.
Hey, artsy fartsy, let her be.
What, really?
He's a wannabe filmmaker.
Oh.
I am not a wannabe filmmaker. I am a waiting to be filmmaker. I have stories that can change people's hearts and minds.
Well, thank you, Mr. Spielberg.
If I could get out of here.
Hey, Shawshank, are you planning a jailbreak?
Can we? Can we make a plan to escape?
We've tried. No luck.
What's the matter? Never seen a freak before?
Hey, wait,
honey, come sit over here. It's gonna be okay.
I'm so sorry this happened to you. I'm really, really sorry. Things will improve with time, though, I know. You may feel abandoned, but just have faith.
Well, your vitals are normal. Say ah.
Ah.
Looks okay.
This place can be a real shock to your system, so just try and relax.
Relax? In this dungeon? Someone get me out of here!
Oi, relax! All right, look. The sooner you accept your fate, the better.
What fate?
What you might have been.
It could have been a restored marriage. But he just couldn't bring himself to say, I'm sorry. The whole affair broke his wife's heart and shattered his kid's trust.
A medical clinic in Kenya. That was the vision. A short-term mission trip changed her whole worldviews. She promised to go to Kenya as soon as she finished her residency. Then all those tempting job offers came rolling in.
He had dozens of technology design patents for some groundbreaking new inventions. Then, the accident. And 3 years in a wheelchair has convinced him that since his legs don't function, maybe his mind can't either.
She sits alone, bored and depressed, remembering the good old days when she felt needed. Oh, she was a wonderful cook, and everybody loved her casseroles. Oh, and her pies.
If he could have just humbled himself, asked forgiveness, their whole relationship could have been mended.
Now she's a high-paid pediatric specialist. It's kind of hard to remember the needs of Kenya when you're living the American dream.
Recently, new inventions have been flooding his mind. Technological advances to help the handicapped live a better quality of life. But he wonders if he still has what it takes.
The fact is, she is old, but she thinks God is finished with her. But she has so much to offer, a plan to feed the shut-ins in her community. But self-pity sets in.
And the doubts.
And the pride.
And the fear of financial uncertainty.
The owners are so selfish!
What owners?
The people who have been given these dreams.
Wait. You're all dreams.
Yeah, not just any dreams. God dreams.
Dreams that could change the world. Creative ways.
To heal the sick.
To restore relationships.
To feed the hungry.
To mend the brokenhearted.
Yeah, to inspire hope.
See, my owner is in construction, and he had a dream to build houses for Habitat for Humanity.
Why didn't he?
A little obstacle called prejudice. You see, his heart wanted to provide housing for poor people in the inner city, but his racist upbringing wouldn't let him show mercy to any people of color. No offense. Your owner. He's ignorant. Tell me about it.
So who are your owners?
Them. Sitting right out there.
And they've all had God speak to them.
Through visions.
And ideas.
Songs.
Impressions.
Books.
Sermons.
They've all experienced struggles and pain.
And can show empathy with the pain of others.
So God has granted them these dreams, but...
But what?
But they got distracted by the cares of the world.
Knocked off course by doubt and discouragement.
Paralyzed by fear.
So, we were aborted and abandoned. There are thousands of us in foster care, afraid and alone. I am that dream that you had to adopt one of them. I know that their emotional baggage may disrupt your lifestyle, but they just want the security of a loving family.
I'm sorry. They'll come for you.
You, on the other hand. Go ahead. Laugh. Judge me by my looks. Me and my friends, we're all Pierce ain't gay, transgenders, anarchists, freaks, society's outcasts. You had a dream to reach out to people like me and accept us for who we are. But you start to get afraid of what others might think of you if you're seen with me, or if you brought me to church, or even invite me into your home. I know we're easy to reject, but I could have been the one to show the world about God's unconditional love.
I'm so sorry.
Say, do you think your owner could be out there?
Yeah.
Mine? I don't know. What kind of dream am I supposed to be? Maybe a teacher.
A business leader.
An advocate for the homeless.
A champion for human rights.
A prayer warrior.
So why did they hesitate to set us free? Don't they see the urgency?
Because they're a bunch of procrastinators. They won't get off their butts. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and the only thing they care about is getting the new iPhone.
Wow, that's optimistic. Isn't a dream supposed to inspire hope?
Sweetheart, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
We've all gotten a little bitter locked up in here for so long.
You think?
Yeah, and many of our owners are still out there, but many have just moved on.
It was just too painful to be constantly reminded of what might have been.
Think of the lives that could have been changed.
If only they would just pray.
Listen to God.
And be obedient.
So you're all just gonna give up?
It's not up to us if we become a reality.
It's up to them.
Yeah, they hold the key.
So we just sit around here and wait for the inevitable.
No! We can't die here! We are God's plan to transform this world!
It's no use, kid. We're stuck in a cage.
Well, let's rattle this cage. You heard me. Let's wake them up. Inspire them to dream again. Remind them of the dreams they once had. Tell them no more excuses.
No more excuses.
No more excuses. No more excuses. No more excuses.
I am in you. You know me. That dream that can change lives. God entrusted me to you. Please, don't let me die.
Don't let us die!
I want to ask you three questions in this room. What is it that God's called you to do? What's holding you back? And what are you going to do about it? You heard the scripture in the skit. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Your dreams weren't meant to be behind these. That's your pain. That's the root of so much misery. If you could just root it and define it to humanity, your purpose is just waiting to be let out. That scripture has just become a life verse for me over the past few years. I was at a pastor's conference, and the pastor said that from the platform, speaking to all the pastors. And he gave us a card. On our way out the door, and it says this, it says, I am a world changer. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But here's the other part of the verse. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. And I have carried this underneath this tablet every sermon I've preached for the last 3.5 years. Because I never want to arrive at a place in my life where I say, what if? I never want to arrive at a place in my life where there's a regret attached to me. And so this right here just spurs me as an individual to do whatever God wants me to do now and trust Him with the results. And it inspires me as a pastor to be that prod in your life to quit allowing excuses to imprison the dream in your heart. Quit allowing contentment and laziness and doubt or insecurities or buzzwords that may not even have been on that screen, unforgiveness and anger and resentment and all these things that incarcerate our purpose. Quit allowing it. I want to close the service like this. because going back to my prayer time leading up to this, we have been preparing all summer for this service right here. And we believe that this right here is a God moment. God knew you would be here. God has waited for you to be here. And he's waiting for your response in this moment. And when I would close my eyes and I say, God, how do you want to close this experience? I just close my eyes and I see this front area. We used to call the altar back in the church. We used to grow this altar area, right? This place, just finding a place designated for prayer. And I just saw this place filled with you. I saw you climbing out of your seats. Your seats that represent where you are right now. And heading here that represents where you're going, where God made you to be. And I saw people leaving their seats and filling an altar, finding a place to stand, kneel, lay on their face, even here down some of the aisles, just filling this front area, saying, God, I don't want to stay in the routine of where I am anymore. I want to break out of that box and go where you've called me to go and do what you've called me to do and be who you've called me to be. I want to ask every eye closed in this place right now, every eye to be closed in this place. I want to say a prayer. Count to three. And when I say three, I want to ask you in boldness to leave your seat and come up here and make the greatest symbolic act your life ever could right now in this moment to say, I will not stay in a routine. I will not allow my life to be in a routine of lifeless, mundane redundancy. The life I've been given, the one life I've been given, I'm going to make count, I'm going to make matter, and I'm going to give it into the hands of my Savior. So Heavenly Father, right now I pray before this moment that every heart in this room would just feel full of encouragement, feel full of inspiration, feel full of an inward pull taking them to a place outside of where they're at, a place called there, symbolized by the front of this room right now. Lord, I pray that pride would be removed, a spirit of what will people think if I go forward. I pray that they would know that nobody's thinking about them. Again, this is not their planet, and no, we're not living in it. This is your world, God. People are focused on you. They're here to celebrate our purpose and not judge it and snicker on it. I pray doubt is defeated in this moment. I pray that every person in this room would know a key is in their hand. A key to unlock the cell door that is holding their dream back. I pray insecurities are shattered. I pray addictions are overcome. I pray fear is removed. And no longer chosen. I pray, God, contentment is shattered. In Jesus' name, one, you got this. Two, you can do this. Three, won't you come? Three, won't you come? Won't you come and unlock a dream? Won't you come and unlock a dream in this room? Won't you come and unlock a dream in your heart right now? Come on. As they're coming, let's worship right now. Let's worship right now as they come. Come on, won't you come and unlock a dream? Hallelujah. Right now, dreams are being unlocked all over this room. Come on. Some of you may not even know your dream, but I want you right now just to find a place to pray. Kneel if you need to kneel. I want you to be comfortable right now in His presence. You can kneel, sit, lay, stand, do, find a seat even around here, somewhere different than where you're at, and seek the face of a God who's got a strategy, a beautiful strategy for your future right now. I want to ask every leader.